All right. Thank you for waiting in line in immigration control. Can we get our next person come up?
Hi. Yes, me. I am coming here from Haiti. I came to America not to push drugs or do any sort of human trafficking. I am here for freedom. I also
All right, that's enough. Yeah, you can go on ahead. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Just go right in the country. They'll show you over to the bus station over there, and you can go anywhere you want.
That was easy. I thought it was going to be a little bit harder. You don't want to ask me any questions or?
No.
COVID
we're good.
Me? No.
Yeah. You're straight.
Fingerprint?
Just go, ma'am.
Okay.
All right. Next.
Please, please help. I'm an American. I'm stuck in Afghanistan. I need to get out of here. I'm surrounded by terrorists. Please.
All right. Let me see. You have a passport?
I don't have anything on me. They got rid of it all. They burned it all.
Oh, I thought you had a passport.
The terrorists took it. I'm okay. Surrounded by terrorists, man. I need help.
Well, you might be sick and stuff, too. I mean, it's kind of dangerous over there, and I think we're trying to get out of there. So, you know, we're actually not even sure what's going on over there anymore. We're kind of done with the whole Afghanistan thing. So, tough
please,
luck, man.
They're going to kill me. Please.
Good luck. Yeah. All right. Bye-bye.
And scene. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us on Will and Amla Live. You might notice
Tyler was supposed to have a passport, and that was part of what making your case to get
it. Well, you know what? It always doesn't go.
It was convincing acting, though. Yeah.
No, it was.
It was great for his
Tyler,
debut.
You're a dark horse in the running for the acting award that we're going to give out. It's too bad this is your last day, ladies and gentlemen.
Sad violin. Oh, we forgot to prepare the sad violin song again.
We did. Yeah, the SpongeBob sad violin song. Mm-hmm. It's not here. But that's Tyler's okay. Leaving today, so give Tyler some love in the chat. He deserves it. He's the best intern. There will never be another intern, Tyler.
We will not forget him like we forgot the people that are stuck in Afghanistan.
That is sadly the truth. Now, let's get into our first story of the day, and that is the 10,000, well, more than 10,000 now, illegal immigrants that are now in the state of Texas. Now, here's a video off of Twitter, just so you guys can truly understand the scope of this problem and just how many illegal immigrants are now entering our country. So these are immigrants that have been let into the state of Texas. A lot of them were processed, as they say, which you can give whatever name you want and just tell the officials at the immigration center whatever you want to tell them. And essentially, they're going to let you into this country without background checks, without fingerprinting, without any sort of actual processing or any sort of actual following of immigration law in this country. So now 10,000 illegal immigrants have now entered the state of Texas. Now, this is looking at sort of a bridge and an underpass here in Texas where they all seem to have aggregated, I guess, to plan out what they're going to do now that they are freely living in America. But this is the state of our country right now with illegal immigration. And it's something that a lot of people are not really talking about right now because there's just so much to talk about. But yeah, while we're all dilly-dallying around, we have an influx of illegal immigrants coming into the country.
Nothing to see here. It's like that meme, this is fine and the house is on fire.
Right, exactly.
But I don't know. Mainstream media has just decided that this is not a story worth covering, apparently. So shout out to Daily Wire. They've put a lot out there. Tucker Carlson has covered this. And I think he has a reporter that used to be with Fox LA, Bill Meligwin or something, that he's the one whose video this is. But and by the way, they were like shutting down the ability. The FAA like grounded all drones from the media to be able to like fly drones over and show you what's going on via camera. The FAA all of a sudden decided to ground those for 2 weeks for like safety reasons or whatever. So they hopped in a helicopter to even be able to get this footage to show what's happening there, because it is happening. It's crazy. There's 10,000 people and hundreds pouring across the border with not being stopped in any way. And
right.
I mean, and then they just reach a processing center and then you give them a bus ticket and then go wherever they want in the country. It's madness.
Imagine being a Texas resident right now and just watching your state be overwhelmed by illegal immigration. And it's really, in part, a lot of it is our fault. And although I don't think anybody should be entering this country illegally, what else are you going to do when you're incentivized to do that? By our officials, by our politicians, by our bureaucrats who tell you, oh, it's more than okay. We can house you. We know how hard it is in your country. Come on over to America. When they know we cannot handle the influx of people. We have hundreds of thousands of people living homeless in this country. We have 1,000 people, 1,000 Americans stuck in Afghanistan right now that are not being taken care of. Yet we're receiving this giant influx of illegal immigration. Now, just to give some details on this, a lot of these illegal immigrants are coming from Haiti. Why is that? It's because our politicians have said that we're no longer going to take planes that are deporting people back to Haiti. So, of course, if I was a resident Haitian and I heard this news, I would be like, you know what? I think I'm going to head back over to America because they're not going to send me back.
Yeah, so. It's like, you know, people are responsible for their actions, and it is wrong to try to come in illegally and exploit the country and try to get benefits and all that type of stuff. But at the same time, a lot of the anger should be and the backlash should be directed at the people who make the policies that incentivize this type of thing, because people are going to do what they're incentivized to do. If you lower the punishments for crime, crime's going to increase. If you make it easy for people to come into the country illegally and incentivize them to by providing no recourse if they do so, guess what in behavior you're going to incentivize? More illegal immigrations. That's exactly what's happening.
Right. But America's so horrible. It's so oppressive. It's so systemically oppressive that why would anybody
The majority of Haitians are, almost all Haitians are black too.
Right.
So they, you know, they just must love that systemic racism, I guess.
Yep. They're like, I just want to go get shot by a police officer. That's why I'm coming to America right now. It's completely ridiculous. And we just got a comment from a Texas, somebody in Texas by the name of KL Thomas, who says, I'm in Texas and I'm furious. And our southern states are along the southern border are really going to be the ones who are experiencing the bulk of this. And with this comes, guess what? A rise in COVID cases, since we truly don't seem to care if illegal immigrants come into this country with COVID, but we care so much about our actual citizens with COVID. So that's sort of inexplicable to me.
You and I, who are not sick, have to go, no longer allowed as of like next week to go to a restaurant after work in Los Angeles. And yet these people can pour into the country by the hundreds and thousands without even being tested or requiring any sort of vaccination or anything. And that's perfectly fine.
But it's all about health and safety, ladies and gentlemen. It's all about health and safety.
I feel so safe.
Yeah. It's like we're going to have an increase in COVID cases. We get an increase in crime with that. We get an increase in our tax dollars going to people who actually do nothing for this nation and who are just here to receive the benefits of the freedom and liberty that we get as American citizens while also exploiting our system of government.
And I think it's important to say, again, we're not anti-immigration.
Absolutely.
I mean, I hate providing these caveats, but that has nothing to do with people's race. It has everything to do with, you know, when you enter a country legally, that is a good faith effort on your part when you go through the immigration process to say, hey, I'm willing to subject myself to whatever process that you require for me to come in. I'm willing to assimilate. I'm willing to be documented. I'm willing to go through the process. And that is a first step of good faith that, hey, I'm coming in to contribute to this country and not take from it. I'm coming into with respect. And what's happening at the border is a complete lack of that and circumventing that. And so people always want to make all these arguments, but that about, you know, in favor of illegal immigration on the effects that they have or whatever. But at the end of the day, if you're entering into the country without that fundamental first step being a step where I'm respecting your laws and respecting this nation and what it stands for, that's not starting off on the right foot. And, you know, I don't know. I rewatched the Wills video the other day or this morning when he talked about illegal immigration last year when they had the whole caravan coming from Honduras. And he talked about how, like, back in the day, people had to go through Ellis Island and you're asked all these questions. And there was like an implicit understanding that you are coming here. You're adopting the values. Mm-hmm. You know basic civics. You know what's expected of you as a citizen of this country. And you are submitting yourself to what it means to be an American. And now all that's lost and being circumvented. And it's not a good thing.
Now it's like you can be anybody and just get into the United States. And really, there's no other country that does this. Try to go into Europe as an American and see how difficult it is for you to become a European resident. It is extremely difficult. And I always lean on the words of Thomas Sowell when we talk about immigration. It's that if your border is not secure and you're not actually enforcing immigration policy, you have no immigration policy. So essentially, we're just letting anybody and their mother, brother, and sister come into our country. We know that it's being overrun by drug kingpins who are using it as a way to traffic drugs into the United States, to traffic children into the United States. It's used for sex offenders. It is used for all kinds of nefarious and atrocious lies against our country. And it's absolutely horrible that we're letting this happen every single day, now at the tune of tens of thousands of people. So we're going to move on to a story that is even more frustrating than tens of thousands of illegal immigrants coming into America, although I don't know how you get more frustrating than that. But this is an opinion piece by Hugh Hewitt out of the Washington Post called Opinion: We Must Own Our Complicity in Afghanistan. Now, he starts off by saying the United States, shame. over the precipitous sprint out of Afghanistan will shadow the country's conscience for a generation. Every horror story, and they will keep coming, is partly the result of our decision to bug out. The death and destruction that occur in previously secure parts of the country will be on the partisan decision to exit. And that's it. Such an important thing to come to terms with is that we failed not only American people, but our Afghan allies in Afghanistan when we pulled out of Afghanistan with sufficient intelligence to tell us that this was going to go awry and there was going to be a bad situation in regard to the Taliban taking over the government in Afghanistan. Yet we continued to do it. And people went along with this. And now, to this day, we have 1,000 Americans still stuck in Afghanistan. What do we do about that?
What do we do?
What do we do?
I mean, you know, a certain policy was proposed that hey, whenever everything hit the fan and our intelligence wasn't sufficient and our allies were completely, or the Afghan army was completely overrun, mm-hmm. someone proposed that we tell the Taliban, if you guys touch any of this equipment, we're going to come destroy you and we're going to come set up enough security to get our people out and mm-hmm. then we'll leave. But you know, that seems a much more reasonable scenario to me than leaving 80 some odd billion dollars of equipment there and 1,000 U.S. citizens. And we talked about this earlier, but like, do you remember what was it during the Carter administration? They had the mm-hmm. Iran hostages that were in America. And it was like wall-to-wall coverage. It was a national scandal that like, how many was it? Like in the 15, 20 Americans?
Far less than 1,000.
Less than 100 hostages over there. And there was a national outrage and everyone was like worried about the hostage. What do we have to do to get them home? And now you look at the mainstream media right now, it's like 1,000 Americans stuck behind terrorist Taliban controlled mm-hmm. lines and crickets.
Crickets. And it's crazy. It's just like it's coupled with one, not wanting to call out the politicians that need to be called out because it goes against your agenda. It goes against the propaganda that you're trying to push. And two, it's coupled with this inherent distrust in America right now. A lot of people hate this country. They hate our military. So who cares if we have military stuck in Afghanistan? Who cares if we have other Americans stuck in Afghanistan? How great is America anyways? I hate this country. Who cares about it? And this is going to cause real, real detrimental harm. And I'm talking beyond already the already 13 American service members that we've lost in Afghanistan. This is going to get worse. And they knew it was going to get worse. And that's the true problem for me, knowing the amount of despair, the amount of suffering that you were going to cause and still continuing to follow through with your plan to pull out of a country that you had no business doing. It's just, it's so disheartening.
It is. And regardless of what you think about the bigger question of the war, whether it was mm-hmm. whether it was wise to stay there or not, the way that in which we pulled out was completely inexcusable and it's a complete catastrophe. And right. there was so much needless loss of 13 American soldiers' life after not one single American soldier had. Well, they slam us with misinformation when like no combat deaths, I guess, is the right
sure.
framing of it. And since like, what was it, February of 2020 mm-hmm. or 2019? I can't remember. But anyways, you know, it was a relatively secure situation and we could have phased it out in a much more organized way. Everyone knows it. And this is a massive stain on our and shame on our in American history, honestly.
Right. I will read this this last little paragraph here in Hugh Hewitt's opinion piece. I urge you all to go to The Washington Post and read this. It is a good read and it really shows you the scope of this problem that we've created. He writes, but our greatest sin is to have left without first overseeing an exodus of those who were desperate to run from the barbaric theocracy. We did a portion of the saving at the last minute, and those tens of thousands who did escape will be forever grateful for the 11 Marines, one Navy corpsman, and one Army soldier who gave their lives that those refugees might live. But for 20 years, we pretended that some sort of middle ground might emerge between darkest midnight and dawn of democracy. Turns out there wasn't, and yet we owed an exit to those who relied on the false hope. Yeah, never forget that we went over there and we gave them the message of what we were going to do, how we were going to save them, how we were going to secure their country. Mm-hmm. And they joined with us.
Yeah. And everyone who believed the promises that we made, we reversed course on them and we abandoned them to whatever fate. And now, like, how do you think the Taliban is going to treat the people who sided with the U.S.?
Right.
You know?
Right. A barbaric theocracy. They are being run by a totalitarian regime that relies on a religion who has fundamentalists and jihadists who are willing to kill anybody who dissents against what they say. So,
but he does reality. Make a, you know, I mean, it's not much of a, I mean, it is a something of a silver lining that, mm-hmm. you know, the sacrifice that those 13 soldiers made was not in vain in that, you know, directly they were able to facilitate the saving of the lives of those tens of thousands of people who did escape. And so, you know, God bless them for that.
Absolutely.
They're heroes.
Yeah. So never forget that. And we should continue to talk about what's happening in Afghanistan until our Americans come home, until our Afghan allies are safe, which is going to be a very, very long time by looking at this. But yes.
Let me just say, we've reached a point in society where you can't rely on the media to be telling you the most important stories,
right?
Or you can't rely on the media to be telling you which stories are most important. There, whatever they is on the front page of CNN or on the cover of the New York Times is not the most important thing going on in America. You can't take that for granted anymore. You have to be aware of what's going on in the world and pay attention yourself, because important things will be buried like this, and we can't let it.
It's crazy that we have a complete inability to rely on our media anymore in this country. Wild. Well, welcome to the new world. And speaking of the new world, we have a video of Jeff Daniels on Stephen Colbert. And it's just baffling. It's mind-boggling. But he talks about ushering in a new world. And that new world is laced with fighting systemic racism, fighting white supremacy, and pushing critical race theory. So let's hear Jeff Daniels, a reminder, the actor from Dumb and Dumber, talk about his political beliefs.
I think the Bloody Sunday for people of color was George Floyd's murder. And white people said, I had no idea that we were only taught one side of American history. I better look into that. So I started reading Isabel Wilkerson, Ta-Nehisi Coates, Carol Anderson. But, you know, get educated, because there's a whole, we have an opportunity in this country right now to welcome in a new America. We really do.
I feel the same way, that there is, I mean, it's strangely, not only in America, not in the way we approach our civic society, but in the arts, there's reasons and there's an opportunity where things are reopening that never closed ever before to rededicate yourself to first principles.
Yeah, and white people are the ones who need to hear it. So Mockingbird is, you know, with Aaron Sorkin and Harper Lee, it's a white point of view. Mm-hmm. And it certainly is the story of Atticus coming to grips with the fact that one of the big central questions of the play is there's goodness in everyone. You just have to care enough to look for it. And is that true today in 2021? Is there goodness in everyone? Not so sure. But you have to choose now. You have to decide whether you're for eliminating or at least marginalizing systemic racism, or are you against that? You have to choose. You can't just sit back and go, please cut my taxes and I'm going to look the other way.
Well, there's also a choice before that, which is to acknowledge it exists.
Acknowledge it exists, yeah. Which is, so then,
goodness gracious, I can't do this. It's just, oh my goodness. And I want to take note of something that he said in particular, where he talks about this play and he talks about, well, the play asserts that all people are born good. Do you really feel like that's true? And he's like, well, I find that questionable. And the subliminal messaging in that is to say that if you are white, if you are born white in this country, you are born with inherent racism and you have an unconscious bias against people that don't have your skin color. And although he said it in the most perfectly picture painted perfect way that you could say it, that's exactly what he means to say. And that's exactly the message that he's trying to hone in on. And it's not true. I'm 50% white. Do I need to 50% look into critical race theory? Do I need to 50% learn about my privilege? Do I need to 50% learn about my unconscious bias? I bet he couldn't answer that.
No, and the way he started his whole diatribe too was, you know, was on the premise of like George Floyd's death was a wake up call for Black America or whatever, to racism. When just right there, you've already skipped over the fact that there's zero evidence to suggest that George Floyd's death was in any way connected to racism.
Right.
So the whole premise for this whole movement and the whole BLM riots and the reason why so many businesses are in ashes right now around the country from last year is complete, there's no evidential basis for it to start there. And then the authors that he cites, Ta-Nehisi Coates and others, are all, you know, notorious purveyors of critical race theory, and which itself states that you deny objectivity. It's an anti-truth. You know, so we have a false premise of George Floyd's death being rooted in racism. And then you have critical race theory, which is designed to rewrite history and reframe. It's like looking through a different lens, even if that lens completely departs from falsehood. They deny objectivity. It's not accountable to facts.
Right.
It's not accountable to truth when you're looking at an honest representation of history.
Yeah.
And then you've got Jeff Daniels harping on his white guilt, and then they then they at the end it by setting up this false choice of you have to be either for or against eradicating systemic racism from America, and which assuming that it already they're both assuming that it already exists.
Right. Like, give me the evidence. Give me one shred of evidence. Like, please tell me something. And if it's police, you're absolutely wrong. And the research is there. You can go look it up. Police are not racially motivated to brutalize people. It is not true whatsoever. I can cite so many different things that say the exact opposite, specifically a study out of Washington State University that says that actually police officers are more prone and faster to shoot white people than they are to shoot black males. It's just not true whatsoever. And by any means, please go and look into the arguments of systemic racism in policing, because they're not true. And because this lie has been perpetuated and sold for so long and pushed so hard in the mainstream media, among the lies that involve systemic racism in all of our institutions, which is false, this young man here, I guess I shouldn't say young man, but wants to usher in a racialized Marxist America. And it makes no sense whatsoever. And to hear these two elite white males talk about how much privilege they have and how hard it is in America for someone like me, how I must feel so sad about the oppression and racism that I have to endure in this country, is just disgusting.
Yeah. I mean, watching this, the question that popped in my mind was like, does he sincerely see the world this way and believe this? Is it that he's really sincerely racked with white guilt, and this is like the adopting this whole ideology absolves him of the sin of being white and being an oppressor and becoming an ally and educating himself and doing all these things? Is it that seems to be the world that they set up? Is like you can join the good side and not be one of the evil purveyors of oppression if you read, you know, the Ibram Kendi books, How to Be an Anti-Racist, and start talking the lingo and doing the work to educate other people. And it's like this parallel to actual ways to redeem yourself and find forgiveness that come from God. Mm-hmm. And instead, it's this new God and this new system of forgiveness by eradicating yourself of your white guilt, patriarchal self, and by adopting and critical race theory and baptizing yourself into that church and, you know, starting to do the work of penance by educating yourself and other people.
Right. And it's just, okay, to the white males out there listening, to the white people out there listening in general, if you do not actually believe that your race is better than other people's races, you're not a racist. Just to let you know, you don't have inherent racism. You don't have unconscious bias towards black people. It's simply not the case. And anybody who wants to try to convince you of that is trying to dehumanize you. And it seems like Jeff Daniels and Stephen Colbert, if they are genuine, have fallen for that lie. And the idea that you should somehow be punished for the actions of your ancestors is ridiculous. It makes no sense, especially since so many white people in this nation have ancestors that never enslaved anybody. Some of them have ancestors that actually fought for the Union in the Civil War, who actually fought to abolish slavery. What do you do with those white people? Are they too racist, even though their ancestors did not commit any human atrocities? How do you configure your labeling for how racist somebody is? Because it doesn't make sense to me.
No, I mean, I don't. There must be something in the human condition that people just inherently crave being like redeemed or absolved of their guilt. And you know, I mean, in a Christian framework, that's original sin. And like you started this whole talk with, are people, you know, inherently good? And you know, Christianity answers that is no. You know, we have all sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and you need, you know, redemption. You need a savior. But what critical race theory does is sets all that up for you by entering this cult and finding your meaning and finding your forgiveness in dismantling America and dismantling everything that it stands for, dismantling your own whiteness and dismantling the patriarchy. And really what it comes down to is dismantling Judeo-Christian values-based Western civilization. And it's this evil ideology that is bent on destruction, and it needs to be exposed for what it is.
Yeah, think about the leftist term that they love to use all the time that I used as a leftist, and that's intersectionality. Think about how all these social issues are interconnected. If you can get somebody to admit that our founding fathers are white supremacists, Nazi bigots, then guess what? The Constitution Constitution means absolutely nothing. The Declaration of Independence means absolutely nothing. The Treaty of Paris means absolutely nothing. Nothing, none of our key documents mean anything if you can assert that our founding fathers are racist, white supremacist Nazis. And that's their goal. They're going to do that, and then they're going to blur the lines of what have founded this country, say that we need to tear that down, say that we need to tear down every single institution that was founded underneath those rules, because those two are representations of white supremacy. Then they're going to break down what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman and what you can identify as, which we've seen now with our pronouns and the different sexualities and all the stuff that they're teaching our kids. And it's all in an effort to destabilize our society, to break it down and then reconstruct it into some sort of Marxist utopia as they see it.
It is. And if you look at like the neo-Marxists in the 1960s, like Antonio Gramsci and others come to mind, came up with this idea of the long march through the institutions. And that's this idea that you can infiltrate the major institutions of a society, because Marx failed to make a workers' revolution by riling up all the workers to overthrow the ruling class. And so they said, well, the new way to do it in a society is to infect the minds mm-hmm. of people in academia and then in the mainstream media, in Hollywood, and start to get them all believing, infiltrating all these institutions with this mm-hmm. ideology. And then they, from the top down, push that down on the vulnerable masses. Right. And if that doesn't describe exactly what's happened, like we are undergoing in the midst. This is a cancer spreading and on not just American society, but on all of the West. And this is the fight that we of our generation, you know, like I was talking with Will the other day. I'm like, that's a crazy thing to say, mm-hmm. but like, at least in the greatest generation, there was moral clarity mm-hmm. to the fight that, okay, evil Nazi regime is trying to take over the world. Let's take up arms. Let's ship me over and let's fight them, right. You know, because there's at least moral clarity. And now it's like buried beneath all of these false veneers of, oh, well, I'm being anti-racist mm-hmm. and all this stuff. And you have to, and it's hard to really know the enemy that you're fighting. That's why people should really educate themselves. We have a lot of resources on PragerU.com about, you know, what is critical race theory, a great video by James Lindsay and others, where you can't afford not to pay attention to what's happening right now. You can't afford not to educate yourself on these issues and really, so that you can see through it and expose it when you see it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. When you talk about that, it brought to mind Jordan Peterson and his sort of lectures on de-kulakization with Stalin and how he saw kulaks and he labeled them as prosperous and they had privileges that everybody else doesn't have, and they became the enemy of the revolution. And guess what? They got stripped of their farms. They got stripped of their lands. Many of them got stripped of their lives. And is that not happening right now in America? So think about that. You just have to take a quick little flip through a history book to see the parallels that are happening right now. And once you see them, you don't unsee them, which is what we're trying to do here at PragerU. Now, one of our videos that we do here at PragerU, our series that we do, is Fireside Chat with Dennis Prager.
Hey.
And Taylor was just on it, talking about his homeschool experience, although Dennis does like to go on tangents and just ask people about their lives and just do deep dives. So I think that's
what
he did with you.
Which he definitely did on this one, yeah.
Yeah, so let's get into it. We'll show a little clip of Taylor with Dennis Prager.
Great to meet you. And finally, Taylor.
Yes, sir.
So Taylor, you're staff at PragerU.
I am, yeah. I've been on staff about a year and a half.
Do they like you? No, that was a joke. We assume if you're still there, they like you. Do you like them?
Oh, yeah. I'm really loving it. Almost everyone. Will Witt gets on my nerves sometimes, but, you know.
That is hilarious. Didn't they make a doormat with Will's name?
They sure did, and it's in front of Craig Strazzeri, our CMO, his office, and he wipes
people
speed
don't
off
know
on
that. I really revealed a PragerU secret. There is a doormat with Will's name on
it's
it.
It's not for sale, but it is there.
It's not for sale. Yeah. That's right. That's wrong. It would be wrong to sell it. That's correct. But when I saw that, I burst out laughing. That was Craig did that?
He did, yep.
So we need a Craig doormat. I mean,
Will wanted to fight back, he should get
it. You
one,
know, it
yeah.
says in the Bible, eye for an eye, mat for a mat.
Seems just.
It's a well-known read of that verse. So where did we find you? Where were you living when you came to us?
I was actually here in LA. I was working at a marketing firm in Hollywood for a few years, but you know, was not finding meaning in that and saw
no
it a different
kidding.
Way. Yeah.
That's a shock. Marketing firm in Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's a very big source of meaning in life. Yeah. So were you homeschooled?
I was homeschooled for about half of my high school years. And then I had a shorter stint in elementary school that I was homeschooled.
Why half of your high school years?
So I'm from a missionary. I'm a missionary kid. And
what,
I,
Mormon?
I'm Christian. Evangelical.
Oh, really? Yep. Evangelical missionaries. Where did they go?
When I was younger, we lived in Oklahoma, but my dad traveled all over the world. He's been to like over 60 some odd countries. But we had stints living in Brazil, Panama, and Honduras before I graduated high school.
And in those places, you were homeschooled?
Yeah, in part. I would go, like in Brazil, for example, in my eighth grade and ninth grade years, I would go to Brazilian school in Portuguese in the mornings. I didn't learn anything except Portuguese and talk to kids.
Can you speak Portuguese?
Yeah, I'm pretty close to fluent now.
Really?
Yep.
Que horas são?
Não sei, são as duas horas da tarde por aí.
He does. He really does. Obrigado.
Dennis is so adorable.
Yeah,
I love Dennis Prager.
This is my problem when I like introduce myself to someone is like you end up spending 10 minutes like talking about all the like my weird upbringing and how I had to live in all these places. Where are you from? I'm like
Brazil, America.
Yeah. So there's a little bit more of that. Dennis is just so funny. He's so inquisitive that like he'll just go down the rabbit hole. And so I think this is like one of the longest episodes of Fireside ever because he just kept asking everyone personal questions and. You know, but we eventually got back to that. He did a great job like tying it all together as only he can.
He's like a master of just sitting in front of a camera and speaking and somehow landing where he needs to land every single time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was fun being on there. Like I'd been to one Fireside filming before, actually when you went on it, when you first started.
Right.
But it was fun, I mean, to actually be in the hot seat and hang with some of the Prager Force crowd, which speaking of, have we introduced our guest today?
We have not introduced our guest today. Speaking of Prager Force, we're going to move to Will Schott, who's sitting in Will Schott right now. Four of our Prager Force members. If you guys want to, you can use Will's mic. Try not to
swivel
knock
it over
your
there.
Waters over. And you can introduce yourself. You can say
your
age.
Sorry if there's some mustache hairs on there. Yeah. We shaved his mustache
yesterday.
We did.
That is true. Might be a little gross. Just with caution, say your name, your age, when you joined Prager Force, or anything you want to say. Go for it.
Hi, I'm Priscilla. I'm 19. I go to UCLA right now, and I joined Prager Force in like summer of 2019.
Amazing. Okay, who else do we have?
My name's Sophia, and I'm 18. I'm a senior in high school, and I'm homeschooled. I joined Prager Force about, I'd say, 2 or 3 months ago. So far, I've really enjoyed it. Especially coming in person has just been really, really fun and meeting everyone.
Super cool. We can see if we can lift that up so you guys can get in here. Hi there.
Hi, I'm Madison. I'm 16. I'm also homeschooled, and I joined Prager Force about a little over a year ago.
Awesome.
Wait, where are you from?
California.
Oh, right. California. Yeah, say where you're from too.
Okay, and if you want to hop over there and say your piece.
Hi, I'm Lila Berger. I'm 22 years old. I just joined Prager Force a couple of weeks ago. I'm a newborn baby.
Amazing.
I'm very happy to be here.
Great. Well, yeah, we just wanted to mention we have our Prager Force members here. If you are a young conservative in high school, college, or a young professional below the age of 35, and you want to join a digital community of like-minded conservatives, you can join by going to PragerForce.com and submit a little application with us. You get a lot of opportunities through Prager Force. So you can network with people if you're working on projects. We have a slew of different professionals and people in high school and college who are working on all different things that network together. You get to work on PragerU content. You could become a PragerU influencer. And like these four beautiful young ladies, you could be on Will and Amala Live. So there's always the opportunity. Go and join
Prager
Force.
And don't forget, my favorite thing is that they do is the events online, digital virtual events with like people like Dave Rubin, Ali Stuckey, I think have been on there. You can do Q&As and it's a lot of cool opportunities. So
go to PragerForce.com and sign up today. You will not regret it. Now we're going to get into our Fun Friday segment, which today is going to be amazing. I love the sound effects. We don't use them enough.
I forget that we have them. Yeah, I know. We need to like program them better.
So you guys submitted through our Instagram, which you can follow us at the Will Witt, at the Amala Benobi, at Taylor Trandall, at Scott W, at Tyler J. Ray, and submit your overrated, underrated suggestions. So that's what I asked for today on my story. Go follow me on Instagram if you want a chance to be featured on the show with your handle. Now, the first one for overrated, underrated is Joe Rogan. This one was put in by Lister's Mates. Any initial thoughts? And Scott and Tyler are going to participate in this as well. Mm. Overrated or underrated?
I think Joe Rogan is underrated.
Okay.
Just because listening to his podcast will make you smarter. I mean, you can pick and choose the episodes. Like, he had Yambi Park on for 4 hours. We listened to that thing when you hosted Dennis Prager's show on the web, remember?
Right.
But man, like there's, he, especially the experts, like some of the comedy ones, you know, I skip over.
Right.
Some of the, I'm interested in MMA, so I listen to a lot of those guys too. But like, anyway, there's so much you can learn by listening to these people. And he's just a master interviewer. And the thing that is so powerful about it is if you watch TV and try to get an education on what's going on in the world today through TV, you have the people on TV, the experts that they bring on, have like 90 seconds to make a point, and there's right. no conversation. And what he's done is mastered the art of like long form conversations with fascinating people like Elon Musk or whomever it may be. I'm making like a whole pitch for
you. You really are. I'm sorry. My gosh, you work for his marketing team?
But yeah, I think he's underrated because, you know, even though he's got the biggest podcasts of all time, like it's underrated.
Scott, Tyler?
Yeah, I mean, I would just echo exactly what he was talking about.
Okay. I don't know why dudes love it so much. Like,
dudes love Joe Rogan.
I don't know, but he's great. Joe Rogan. Right? Tyler?
Yeah, I'm going to go with underrated as well. I mean, you guys kind of just nailed it right on the nose with it. It's just such a diverse podcast with a whole bunch of different guests, so you can definitely find like a guest that is speaking on something that you're interested in, and Joe Rogan is just super skilled in making the conversation super interesting, so... Underrated.
I can't say properly rated because I can't fence it. So I'm going to go ahead and go underrated for Joe
That's
Rogan.
Right,
just because, you know, he's mastered the craft. He's done it a very good job.
Put your thumb up if it's overrated, thumb down if it's
underrated. What do you think about Joe Rogan?
Thumb up if it's underrated?
Thumb down if it's underrated, okay. Thumb up if it's overrated. Right. Okay, underrated right. and one's an overrated. Okay.
Right.
Next one here. We have Stranger Things. This one was put in by Marie B. Serrano G.
This is tough. I'm going to say overrated.
I think I am too.
It was underrated when it first came out. It was mm-hmm. like mind-blowingly awesome. Transport you to the 80s and spooky and everything. And then the latest season is kind of just like, all right, they're milking this.
I'm going to go overrated as well. There's just too much fan culture around it. There's too much. It's too much. Feels culty at this point.
Yeah, I would say when it first came out, it was appropriately rated, and then as the seasons went on, it's definitely become overrated. It's fallen off precipitously.
Tyler,
I'm going fully overrated. I even first season, I just couldn't get on that train. I tried watching it, and it's not for me.
Where's Will Byers?
Oh man, Winona Ryder's character in that just stresses me out.
She's very
always
kooky.
Like
yeah.
crying and hysterical, and I'm just like, lady, get a grip. Anyway, can we do our thumbs over here?
Let's do our thumbs.
What
Stranger Things, overrated or underrated? Overrated. Over, good. Over, and one says under.
All right,
you
all
are
right.
just always the dissident opinion over like here, it. Okay?
Live not by lies.
Live not by lies. Yourself. Next one, Krispy Kreme donuts. This is from Marissa Kirsch, 10. Overrated immediately.
Yeah.
I'm not a donut fan whatsoever. Sorry, guys. Sorry. I can hear you guys entering and leaving the chat at the same time. Yeah.
I appreciate that Krispy Kreme is an American institution, but it's an overrated institution and there are better donuts. So I'm going to say overrated.
Okay. Scott, Tyler.
Well, when I could eat them, I was a sucker for glazed mm-hmm. donuts. So Krispy Kreme has a soft spot in my heart.
Okay.
I have a soft spot for Krispy Kreme in my heart. But, yeah, I mean, ultimately, there are better donuts out there, so.
Fair overrated. Enough. Overrated. Tyler?
I'm going to say properly rated.
Oh.
I really like Krispy Kreme. I'm a big donut fan.
Sounds but, like a know, fence-sitting answer
solid.
To me.
Maybe.
Mm. And Prager Force?
I know.
Properly? All of you are properly?
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Fair enough. Next one here. Overrated or underrated? We're probably going to have to get into a discussion about this one. This is from Charles 77 Franklin. The two-party system. This one.
Well, okay.
Tough.
The premise of overrated and underrated is that, like, there's a public opinion, like, strongly one way or another about this.
Well, let's just say that there's not. Is it overrated or underrated?
But I don't know if people...
People, let's just say
I don't know what people's
love,
rating of the two-party system
people
is.
Let's just say people love the two-party system. People, is it overrated or underrated?
If people love it, then it's overrated.
Okay. Like, explain.
Yeah, European countries have different systems where there's like a runoff election based on the top two candidates from like five or six different parties. Like France is like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there are other ways to do things, and that doesn't have to be so, you know, 50-50. But
right.
Anyway, I don't know. It's kind of just a fact of life in America at this point, though. I don't really know. Like,
yeah, Assuming people love it, I'm going to say it's overrated. You know, George Washington, our resident founding father, warned against the two-party system. And I think we are so obsessed with labels that now you just say the word conservative and somebody's already painted a caricature of what that means to be, or you say the word Republican or Democrat and somebody already has an image in their mind of what that means. And it's because we've just polarized the two parties so bad in this mm-hmm. country that we've almost not been able to recover from the damage we've done by, you know, dividing ourselves into two parties. You guys?
Yeah, this is a tough one to rate overrated or underrated. I love what you were talking about, and I've brought it up multiple times in our mm-hmm. conversations, but right. the series John Adams on HBO, I thought, does a great job at depicting George Washington's mm-hmm. You know, thoughts and reasoning for why he warned us against going this way. So if you haven't seen it, definitely watch it.
I'd
love to get Richard's
Constitution
take
Day
on
shout
it.
Out.
Constitution Day, yeah. definitely. Yeah, it's a great depiction of that, and I'd love to get Richard's take on that maybe one day
yeah.
to see if it's accurate.
Amazing.
What's your take to overrated, underrated?
Overrated, underrated. Yeah.
I'd say overrated.
Okay.
All right.
People love to compete right now in the political sphere, so definitely overrated.
Does pull into that impulse, Tyler?
I'm definitely going overrated. I think it's not a good thing to have just like the two-party system, because politicians and people become so like over-identified with one party or the other, so they get so caught up in defending like one party's ideology over the other rather than mm-hmm. trying to serve like the common good.
Right.
And I think people just get so caught up in like, yeah, I mean, it's just a mess. I could go on forever, but
right. Prager Forcers, where are we at? Thumbs.
Overrated.
Overrated. And she's in the middle. Okay. Gotcha. Next one here. Overrated, underrated. This one was Scott's suggestion. The internet. This one's a really tough one.
I'm going to say overrated.
Overrated? Okay. You want to explain?
We were smarter, wiser, better off before the internet existed.
I agree. I do agree. I do concur, doctor. I'm going to go overrated as well. I think so often we talk about how it's so great, how globalized we've become and everybody's interconnected, and I can look on my phone right now and I know what's happening in Syria and I know what's happening in Australia. And while I think it's great that we're connected to people and you could talk to your friends from Africa and talk to them from California, the detrimental effects from that, the psychological effects of having the internet and having your life and everybody else's life just be so readily available is probably against the natural being of the human psyche, and we probably shouldn't have delved into that world as we did. The Jurassic Park.
You were so concerned with whether you could that you didn't stop to think whether you should.
There we go. I knew Tyler. Taylor.
We're back to that.
I knew Travis was going to give that
Look,
quote.
I was on Fireside Chat now, so yeah, it's, you, so know, you gotta use my right
pretty
name.
Pretty famous. I like how all the PF girls over here just were like, ooh. they know. Scott, Tyler?
Yeah, I definitely say this is overrated. I grew up in a household where we didn't have internet. Mm-hmm. So I went through my elementary high school years without internet. Absolutely loved it. I mean, back then, probably not, but looking back now, I felt like I was far more inquisitive in terms of my pursuit of knowledge and being in libraries all the time to just learn something and yeah, hop on the internet when they had it. But,
right.
But like at the same time, I just had this sort of this hunger for it. And now I literally have it at my fingertips. So it's like, oh, you know, sometimes in waves it comes. But yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just a personal anecdote, but I would generally just say it's overrated.
Tyler?
Yeah, I'm going with overrated as well.
Okay.
I mean, people say it's obviously good to have information that's easily accessible, but I think it's also put people's motivation like totally out the window. It's like if you want to learn something, sure, you could go look it up on Google, but like go read a book.
Right.
It's more enjoyable. You'll probably get a lot more out of it. So I'm definitely saying overrated.
Yeah, we're talking about Scott and Taylor and I were having conversations about this, and we're all jacks of all trades and masters of none now due to the internet, because we just have everything readily available to us. And it sort of eliminates the prowess of wanting to even know anything. Just knowing that it's there in your pocket and that you don't have to actively seek it out is a crazy phenomenon that we're experiencing right now. Prager Force girls, where are we at? Overrated, underrated?
Overrated
across the board, unanimous vote. This is unprecedented. Okay. Next one. Overrated or underrated? This one's from Lister's Mates as well. Mr. Rogers.
And no one can say this is he's overrated.
Nobody can say that.
So underrated.
He's so underrated.
Mr. Rogers is the not the hero America deserves, but it's the hero America needs right now.
Right.
To use a Batman reference.
Wow. I stand with you on that, Taylor. I'm a huge fan of Mr. Rogers. I watched him all the time when I was a kid. When the movie came out with Tom Hanks portraying him, I watched that. When his documentary came out about Mr. Rogers, I watched that. It's just, he's just a crazy guy. Maybe a little bit OCD. I heard a story, and this is true. His wife reports this as well, that Mr. Rogers would go swimming every day, and he'd get on the scale afterwards, and he wanted his weight to be 1-4-3 every single day for I love you. And that's how obsessed he was with just love and kindness. And even though he was a man that had, you know, natural tendencies that every man has, the anger, the aggression, the assertiveness, he fought that with all his might and knew that children were at the forefront of the culture war when it comes to good values and good morals. And he dedicated his life to seeking out children, teaching them good values, and his legacy is going to live on forever. So Mr. Rogers is definitely underrated. You guys?
I don't know how to follow that.
I'm like a huge fan, so.
Yeah, I would put him in the underrated column as well, him and Bob Ross. Like, mm-hmm. Whenever I went to my grandparents, those were on all the time, and it's just awesome. This nostalgic.
So wholesome.
Sort of it's yeah. So wholesome.
Kids would be so much better off watching that than, like, I don't know what they watch these days.
And Trans Blues good. Clues.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Tyler? Drag Queen story time.
Yeah,
definitely still going underrated. I watched him a little bit when I was younger. But yeah, it's definitely something that just kids need now and families need to be promoting these values to kids. And yeah, we need them back. It'd be very nice.
Agreed. Prager Force girls? Nice. Another unanimous vote. Again, unprecedented. Next one, overrated, underrated, soulmates. And this is one, Micah Bet 3.
I'm going to say definitely overrated.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you marry someone, they become the one. And the idea that there's like this one person out there who's perfect for you is very romanticized. And it's in novels and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's, you know, you need to be not like that.
Yeah, Taylor and Scott, I'm relying on your answers for this because you just got married. So this is going to be interesting. So Taylor says overrated. Scott?
I concur. Overrated. yeah, it's a romantic ideal that's never really attainable in reality.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously we live in a realistic world. And,
right.
But yeah, once you marry them, they do become the one.
I will say this too. My older brother was my best man, and he gave a toast to my wedding, and he quoted Jordan Peterson, who says that when you commit to someone in marriage, you sacrifice the ideal for the real.
Mm.
And mm-hmm. but he ended the toast by saying, I don't think either of you has to sacrifice very much, which was very sweet.
Yeah.
And I agree. So I don't feel like I'm making any giant sacrifice by being married to my wife. But I will say that, like, there's truth to, I mean, it's better to have someone real mm-hmm. than live in an imaginary world perpetually. Mm-hmm. That it's unfair to compare a real person to that. And so I've seen people waste long time. Some people I know that still are wasting, letting the years go by because they're committed to this romantic idea of an ideal person when there are plenty of real people around them that if they just weren't, it didn't have their head in La La Land,
mm-hmm.
They would find a happy, like meaningful, great relationship.
Yeah. I think about it in relation to just being a young woman in America, specifically with like Instagram and TikTok culture and all this stuff. You hear all the time these young girls being like, if he's not your Prince Charming, he's not the one. If he's not absolutely perfect, he's not the one. If he doesn't do this, 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 and this for you, he's not the one. So then girls seek out those little problems with guys, and then one bad thing happens and they leave because they don't think that love is work. They don't think that relationships are work. So that the idea of soulmates and that there's some sort of perfect Prince Charming who's never going to do you wrong and never going to offend you and is never going to break your trust at all is just not right. And it's definitely not a good thing to teach young women.
Yeah, and that's not to say, by the way, that you should compromise in any way.
Exactly.
Do not compromise on morals. Do not compromise mm-hmm. on shared values and all the things that you believe in. And it's okay to have specific things that you're looking for. But at the end of the day, like, you know, you have to be cautious against an overly romanticized approach to your dating life.
I think every person has sort of their foundational, what they look for in a person, and then they have their marginal, what they look for in a person. So if somebody's meeting all your foundational needs in a relationship, anything that sort of falls outside of that should be just, you know, like, we can work on this, or, you know, I'm okay with that, with you being that person. Just meet your foundational needs in a person.
Yeah, there was one point when my dad asked me the question, when I let him know that, hey, this is the woman I definitely want to marry.
Mm-hmm.
He asked me a poignant question, being that, could you live without her? Mm-hmm. And I said, Yes, I probably could, but do I want to? but do I want to?
Right.
Absolutely
not. That, yeah. Honestly, that's true. Asking myself that question is what pushed me over the edge pretty much to be like, okay, I'm going to marry this woman.
Right. Tyler, soulmates, overrated, underrated?
I'm going to go in a different direction. Wow. And I'm going to say underrated.
Wow.
Just because I think we're in a period of time where I think a lot of young adults are dating for the wrong reasons, the wrong intentions. And I've always thought that dating should be focused with the insight of ending up in marriage. And I mean, I think just being in college, I'm kind of exposed to it a lot.
Yeah.
See relationships that are just like rooted in, you know, really poor things. And, and I think, and what you guys said too, with like, you shouldn't be like over romanticizing like the concept of soulmates, right. But your soulmate doesn't have to be perfect. Like you can still have a soulmate.
Mm-hmm.
I think that is still an imperfect human like we all are.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with underrated actually.
Wow. A nuanced answer from Tyler.
Answer. I like it.
Tyler's just coming in hot on this final stream.
Can tell he's a baseball player pitcher because he just threw us a curveball.
Oh, wow. But
sad joke.
Where's my pocket audience? I don't have it. Prager Force girls. What do we think? Overrated, underrated, soulmates?
I think it's underrated.
Under? Okay. Are we going under? Are we on the fence? Do we not know?
I don't know.
Okay. So this one.
Tyler just confused everyone.
Yeah,
no
we
knows
just
what
left him. We left him speechless over here.
I think it's interesting. Like Scott and my generation was a different. I think you know nowadays dating. We talked about this with Dennis ahead of Fireside too, because he was asking the girls all about their college experience and stuff, and they're talking about dating culture these days and how it's basically devalued. It's not about finding a mate and or finding a long term relationship when you're in college anymore. People don't think like that. Right. They think about just you know, hey, I'm just gonna have fun, hook up, whatever. Like that's you know, I'm just here for the journey and for the ride, and no one like marriage is not on anyone's radar even in college, am I right? And so if you're starting from there, then it makes sense to be like, well, maybe you should have a hope for a soulmate or someone that you can meaningfully spend your life with and invest you know, build a life together with. Like that should be something to aspire to. Right. So for Gen Z, yeah, maybe you do need to aspire.
Yeah,
to
it's weird how the ages have shifted. Like our older generations were like, oh yeah, well, middle school relationships don't mean anything. Like I'll find my sweetheart in high school and we'll get married after high school. And then it was like, well, high school relationships don't mean anything. I'll meet my sweetheart in college and then we'll get married. And now it's like college relationships don't mean anything. I'll go and start my career. And then it's like career relationships don't mean anything. I'll finish my career and then I'll meet somebody who I want to marry. It's a weird, weird shift. Yeah. The next one here, overrated, underrated by Determined Zebra is decorating for Halloween.
Yeah. Oh, Mo just looks at me and smiles because I'm a huge like fall spirit person and I love decorating for Halloween. Some of my fondest memories are like when you elementary school, when you walk in and your teacher's got the big cheesy pumpkin sweater on,
right.
And there's like bats and like little witches and ghouls, like all you know, decorate like cutesy, like spooky stuff, not like terrorizing, you know, stuff. But like, and I mean, I just love all that stuff and like just the whole season of Halloween and having, you know, candy corn and all that's in the movies and hay rides and corn mazes and all that stuff. I'm just like, bring it on the
right.
Faster. And like, you got to make sure you have enough time to enjoy it. Cause if you wait too long, then it's like now, and I feel like I'm like, oh, I only have a couple weeks to like soak up all the fun of Halloween, when you got to get ahead of the game and make sure you give yourself plenty of time to soak
yeah.
it.
I'm a big accepting the changing of the times and decorating for those changes. My grandmother used to decorate her house for every single holiday, Easter, Halloween, Christmas, anything you can think of, she would decorate for. And it's just cool. It signals like a change in life. It signals the time is moving forward and that we're just going through these different seasons. And as a young person, you don't realize how important it is to you until you're older and you just think about, oh, when I was a kid, that sort of wonderstruck feeling.
Oh, I can't wait to trick or treat with my kids and all that
right,
stuff.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Oh, gosh.
And it incentivizes you. You're like, oh, I want to do this with my kids and I want to do this with my kids and I got to make sure I do this. So definitely underrated. You guys?
I gotta say it's overrated.
Okay.
But, you know, that's very apparent based on I share an office with Amla and it's bare bones. We got
right.
nothing on the
walls.
It looks
like a bachelor pad.
Yeah, it looks like a bachelor pad. Paint
mattress on
off
the floor.
Wall.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mattress on the floor. No, yeah. No furniture.
See, I respect it when people go all out and do that stuff, but I don't know. I've just learned that I'm not going to be that guy to put the effort forward. I'll
right.
enjoy it, but I won't do it myself.
You'll appreciate
so
if somebody else does it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Tyler?
I'm going to go overrated as well.
Gosh.
I'm not against Halloween decorations.
You're fired.
It just
effective immediately.
This is your last day.
But
pack
I'm just
bags.
More of a Christmas kind of holiday season. I just prefer those kind
okay.
of decorations I've always
so
enjoyed
you're like,
doing
what am I decorating for?
Exactly.
Key,
I'm not anti-decoration. Decorations are not overrated.
Okay.
Yeah.
Prager Force. Over, middle, and under. You're all fired.
You're all
for not coming
people.
To a unanimous decision. You're fired.
The mentors are
next one. Overrated, underrated from Kev Jeff, thrifting. I'm immediately underrated. I'm underrated.
I'm going to say overrated just because, like, there's thrifting people and they're, like, so into it. And I'm just like,
it's like a cult.
Okay, you got cheap clothes. Like, I'm happy for you. But, like, I don't need, like, a 20-minute speech about it. Like,
right. You know, fair enough.
Or, like, when you just say, you know, oh, guess where I got this and how much I paid for it. It's like, cool. I mean, I'm glad. Like, I like thrifting within reason, but anyway, it's
right.
Overrated.
Okay, I'm underrated, and I just like the small town thrifting. I'm from a small town in Florida, so I would just go to the local Goodwill, and I feel like so many things that I wear on the show are thrifted, and yeah, it's just like reliable, good, cheap.
I might save this for hot takes too, but I think Goodwill's a scam. They just take out everyone's stuff for free and then sell it. And then all their decorations are like, look how much good we're doing.
And
we're such a nice part of the community.
They don't pay their employees a whole lot of money, which is kind of crazy.
Millions.
They got in trouble for that and had to raise their employees' wages. So, okay, maybe not the most ethical sourcing of clothing. Okay. Let me advocate for your local thrift store. Okay. Yeah. You guys.
Yeah, I'd have to say overrated. I don't know. The smell has... It's just, it hits me in some way
the dust.
That I can't
every Goodwill smells the same.
Yeah, it does. And
it's true. It just smells like dust.
Headache.
Musty.
Yeah.
And mothballs. And okay, Tyler?
I'm also going overrated just for what Taylor said.
You're breaking my heart.
Yeah. It's just, it's become like, it's just a trend. And it's like, yeah, it's like, cool, you got cheap clothes. Like, it's very practical. So I was like, yeah. And
it's become such a trend now that there are thrift stores in LA that don't even sell at thrifting prices. They just sell you a shirt for like $50 and they say they're a thrift store. It's crazy.
That's LA for
yeah, that's yeah. not a thrift store. Prager Force, what are we thinking?
Underrated.
Split down the middle.
Split down the middle.
Two-party system.
We're going to have a talk after this, the two-party system. Next one, overrated, underrated, Beyonce by Curly and OC. Over.
I can barely name like any songs of Beyonce.
I can name like 1,000.
I can't name any.
And she's overrated.
And I'm going to say overrated. Just sorry.
Yeah, the politics.
But I don't
girl.
Feel strongly about this. Something, you know, people like her, that's great, but I'm overrated.
Sure. She's talented. You know, she had a strong career. She's stayed in the industry for quite some time, which is more than most do. So I'll give her kudos for it. But she's overrated. And her politics are trash. So, sorry. You guys?
I would agree with that. She's very successful. Uh-huh. Good job. And good for her. But definitely overrated. I'm not a fan of the music.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't like when people shake their butts in no clothing on stage? That was supposed to be
an
immediate no. It was supposed to be a no, Amala. I don't like that. There we go. Tyler?
Yeah, I'm going overrated. Just because, I mean, she's super talented and, like, you know, I was going to say good performer, but after that conversation, I don't know if I want to say that. I just don't listen to her that much, so okay. I can't really comment.
She's a skilled dancer, okay?
Yeah, she's a skilled. It really jiggles, guys. Prager Force, what do we think? Overrated, all of you. Great job. You're back in my good graces. Overrated, underrated from Oriander 3710 Marshmallows.
That's a good one. I'm going to say overrated. Marshmallows are not exciting. And yeah, like even in s'mores and stuff, I don't like I don't it's like I want to like it cuz it's a s'more and it's like fall and everything, but like I'm never like yay marshmallows. So, I'm just going to say overrated.
Yeah, I'm going to go overrated too. I like them in like hot cocoa or s'more occasionally for the fall season, but no, they're not great. I wouldn't eat them on their own, which means definitely overrated.
No. They do make Rice Krispie treats possible and I appreciate
true.
That.
They're good facilitators of making things taste better, but they don't taste good on their own.
That's true.
Well
you
put,
guys.
Well put.
Thank you. Yeah. You guys agree?
You ever had those like pastel colored marshmallows?
Yes, and they taste a little bit
they're
different.
So gross.
What about Peeps? Yeah.
Disgusting.
Peeps are super overrated. Peeps are very overrated. They should be illegal.
Straight to jail.
Yeah.
Prison.
To jail.
Prager Force.
Underrated.
Oh my goodness. Oh, and then we're done. That's it for overrated, underrated. Now, Taylor sent us some comedy videos that he wanted us
fun
to show.
Fun Friday, guys. We got to watch some funny stuff.
We do. Okay.
Real
so this
quick.
One is called People on Unemployment by John B. Christ. Here we go.
Down, please. It's literally 11 a.m. I'm trying to sleep.
What have I taken from my country this year? Let's see. 2 stimulus checks, weekly unemployment, student loan forgiveness. What have I contributed to my country? Come in here, I'm gonna show you some of the participation trophies I earned as a kid. Siri, apply for jobs for me.
I'm not sure I understand.
See, I'm literally doing everything I can. I mean, what?
Does money not grow on these?
Definition of work. Activity involving mental or physical effort done in order to achieve a purpose or result. People do this? Also, I don't pay taxes of any sort, so I contribute nothing to this country. But it's weird because I still have the lack of self-awareness to get on the internet and complain about America. Yeah, it's alarm clock. I mean, why would I need that? I'll just wake up when I'm done sleeping. My favorite part about the Enneagram is I can just use it to justify all my negative traits. People used to call me lazy and self-absorbed, but now it's just like, I'm a four. Okay, their CEO said, what? I am officially boycotting them. I will not spend another dollar of my dad's money there. Honestly, I'm thinking about getting an emotional support pet. I need it. Delayed gratification? Okay, what is that? Like a band or a TikTok dance or something? No, I've never heard of it. Work? I mean, somebody's about to get this work in Call of Duty. I'm on unemployment because I enjoy the freedom, which ironically, an able-bodied person now relying on the government for their survival is actually the opposite of freedom, if you think about it. But toxic? Yeah, that's my favorite word to call anyone in my life that's brave enough to be honest with me. Also, it's my favorite Britney song. My relationship with the government, okay, it's complicated. Basically, they give me checks, and then I vote for the candidate that gives me the biggest check. So, it's just a fun little codependent relationship we have, but just give me a second. I'm adding my pronouns to my Twitter bio. I mean, no, I'm not formally employed, but I do a lot of stuff during the day, okay? I, you know, meditate, first of all. Sometimes I fall asleep, but then I water my plants. I read, I blog, I drink water. Hey, Dad, yeah, can you transfer some more money to my account? No, it is an emergency. Coachella tickets go on sale next week. I got a LinkedIn this week, so I should be hearing about a job pretty soon. Oh, you got to apply? Oh, I thought they just called you. No, okay.
You've completed.
Okay, my Uber Eats is taking 27 minutes. Can't find a driver. Does no one want to work in this country?
The ironic thing about being woke is that I literally sleep all the time.
It's almost too accurate to be funny. I'm just like, there are actual people who say these things and do these things in our country.
Yeah, I mean, I had some nameless person pop in my mind. Watching this, I'm like, this is exactly someone I know.
Right, right. It's kind of sad how realistic this is. But yeah, you guys can go check out this video. It's called People on Unemployment. It's by John B. Christ. And that, my friends, is the ending of Fun Friday.
Fun fact, though, I ran into John Christ.
Oh, you did?
In Nashville, outside of a bar.
Did you say anything?
Wedding weekend. No, he was talking to someone else I was with.
You know, okay, I would like to say
he recognized me from Illinois Alive, but no.
Taylor, I have beef with you because you keep meeting people who are significant and you don't say anything to them. Taylor was at a bar.
Oh, yeah.
And Toby Flenderson from The Office was at the bar.
On Taco Tuesday this week.
And Taylor didn't say anything.
Yeah. I got a creepy video of him, though, over my over my friend's shoulder while we played shuffleboard.
And you can, like, barely tell that it's Toby. It could literally be, like, any random white guy.
It was Toby. I guarantee it was Toby. Like, I have zero doubt on
that. You know how you could truly guarantee that?
If you're in any other city besides L.A., you're like, you second guess yourself. You're like, that wasn't them.
Yeah,
but in L.A., like, nine times out of ten, it's them. You know, so yeah. Anyway, it was definitely Toby.
And Taylor did not walk up and say anything, so...
Look, I kind of meet a lot of famous people, so it just gets a little, you know. No, it's like, you're out in public space, you're not going to, like, go up to someone and just, like, oh, I'm a big fan. Like, how many people would say that? And just, like, you know, it doesn't.
Some guy in Utah actually walked up to me and said exactly that. He's like, I don't know who you are, but he's like, I just meet, like, so many famous people, so it's, like, really nothing to me. He was like, but can I get a picture? I was like, okay.
What? You should have said no.
It was really weird. I'm not assertive. As all of you know who watch the show, I'm the most unassertive person you've probably ever met in your life. So this guy just said this to me, and I was like, sure. Take the picture. So yeah, it was a really nice gentleman who meets a lot of famous people. Just ask him. Like, don't worry about it. Anyways, guys, please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single day when we go live at 2:30 PST, 5:30 Eastern. If you'd like to listen to us, which we highly encourage, go to Spotify, Google Play, or Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star review so we know that you like the show and everybody else knows that you like the show. And we would really love it if you guys actually right now when you finish the stream, go into one of those apps, again, Spotify, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, and go like the show, go download the show, go follow the show, go leave the show a review, and then DM me and let you know let me know that you did it, because I will give you a round of applause for doing so. We really want this show to grow. And thank you guys so much for watching. We will be back on Monday with the one, Will Witt. We'll be back as a trio on Monday. See you guys then. Bye.
See ya.